morning, Emmanuel.
Good morning.
And a very warm welcome to everyone to our worship this morning, whether you're here in person or listening to the recorded version of the service afterwards. It is delightful, of course, to welcome back Martin Camrow to our pulpit and to welcome Margaret as well. We do hope you enjoy your return to Swindon today, and I know we in the congregation will enjoy renewing acquaintance with you both and listening to your message. Martin, I hope everyone has picked up this little sheet of paper which has the words of the second hymn. If you haven't got it, put your hand up and I'm sure Sue will help you out, but it looks as though the system has worked. That's good, right. After the service, please feel free to go through either of these doors to the hall where we are serving coffee and tea, an additional chance to meet Martin and Margaret and have a chat with them, and also to visit our tradecraft stall, and perhaps the most exciting reason to visit the hall for tea and coffee is that we are serving chocolate biscuits. For the benefit of those listening to the recording, I will be doing both Bible readings this morning, Don MacArthur. I have also been asked to remind people about our drama group's production of an abridged version of The Sound of Music, which is taking place on Saturday, the 10th of September. Tickets will be on sale in the hall while you're having your tea and coffee and chocolate biscuits. I will now light the Christ candle, and I shall also light the peace candle, reminding us of those who need peace in Ukraine and across so many other countries, sadly, in the world. And we will then have a brief pause before we begin our worship.
Will you rise to worship God? And the order that calls worship is on your invaluable little sheet. Please rise. If you are able or wish to. Salvation belongs to our God who is seated on the throne and to the Lamb.
Amen. Blessing and glory and wisdom.
The hymn is number 600, Christ is the World's Light, Him, He and None Other. Now let us pray. Dear God, we come here because there are things we need to be reminded of. We need to be reminded that you are, that you are mysteriously present in the midst of this so perplexing world. Reminded that you know and care about what happens in the world and that you know and care about what happens to us. Reminded of your love, reminded of your faithfulness. So speak that reminder to us in this time together. Startle us once again with your truth in Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And now we say the prayer that Jesus taught us as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven. Hello, Swindon. Of course, Swindon was in the news the other day. I heard about it, as we all did. This interesting discussion about whether this was the best place for the Eurovision Song Contest. I was wondering where they would hold it. I thought the lawns might be the best place. Of course, there would be a problem having it on the lawn, supposing it rained. But then they could put their umbrellas up, and that would have given it a new flavour. And the British entrant could have switched the song to Singing in the Rain, and we would undoubtedly have won. So anyway, that wasn't to be, but it's nice to be here. This is my summer gear. Someone said when I came in, beautiful, from the choir, and I thought it was me they were talking about, but it wasn't. It was my stole. But I wear this in the summer. It's just been too hot. I can't face at the moment wearing all that black stuff that I normally wear. It has been... I think it's been a year we may look back on as a kind of seminal moment in global warming. We've heard about global warming before. A degree or two warmer, that sounds wonderful. We might all quite like that. And then this year, it has been so hot. Margaret and I went on a holiday to Puglia in Italy for an entire week. And the temperature in the day never fell below 38 degrees Fahrenheit. Even when we came out first thing in the morning, it was about 30. And by lunchtime, we were just absolutely exhausted and nothing we could do but go and sit down and stay in the hotel. A heat that you just can't cope with. It's greener here than it is in Essex. You're a bit more westerly. But in Essex, we have parched, dry fields. We have rivers which are turning green with sludge and slime. The harvest has been often harvested already because it grew so quickly and is worse than usual. I'm told this is the hottest it has been for 125,000 years, which is about when I was in Swindon, I suppose. But it's a seminal moment. If anyone thinks global warming is a myth, this year has shown you. And of course today the dreadful floods in Pakistan reminding us of the extreme weather. So I've been plugging this hymn for New Zealand by, it's either Sheila Murray or Sheena Murray, I can't remember. But it's a beautiful hymn, it's on your bit of paper. Touch the earth lightly, use the earth gently, nourish the life of the world in our care, gift of great wonder. We have this amazingly wonderful world, but we are misusing it. She refers to dark clouds of destruction. That's New Zealand. She was thinking of nuclear tests by France in the Pacific, which New Zealand asked them to stop long ago, and they have done now, but late. But for all of us, that sense of a planet in peril that we have to preserve, touch the earth lightly, use the earth gently. And so we're going to sing that hymn, and Jeff has switched the tune very wisely, because when I tried to sing this in Highwoods Methodist Church in Colchester, they revolted and said, that is unsingable. It wouldn't have been. They were just chickening out. It was the heat. They were all just getting a bit... But anyway, so Jeff has switched the tune to one you know and it works. Touch the earth. Look at the words as you sing it. Touch the earth lightly. Use the earth gently. Thank you. After the service this morning, Margaret and I, and for that matter Edith over there, we're due to go out to lunch with Mary and Peter Beale. Mary was, I've known Mary longer than I've known any of you. She was a member of my church in Birkenhead. But yesterday at 3 o'clock in the morning, she fell and broke a hip. That's the second hip she's broken, as you probably know. She's in hospital. She may have been operated on yesterday, if not today. And so our thoughts and later our prayers in a moment will go out for Mary and for Peter in this really depressing and sad situation for her. And now then, let us go to God in prayer. God of the ages, God of wonder, God of beauty, you speak to us through the beauty of nature, through people, through music, through scripture. Your grandeur surpasses all that we can know. We thank you that in love you sent Jesus to walk among us and to teach us how we should live. He stooped to hear the plight of strangers and bent down to embrace the children. He suffered indignity and death on our behalf, and now he lives as our guide and friend. We bring our prayers in his name. We pray for the people of Ukraine. 6 months of bloody violence. We hold them and the hopes of peace before you. We pray for the victims of violence around the world. We remember the family of Olivia Pratt Corbell, so unspeakably murdered in Liverpool. The unbearable feelings they must be feeling today, and we commend them all to your loving care. We pray for those who are sick. We pray for those in hospital awaiting operations. We pray especially for Mary Beale and for her husband Peter. Pray for any who are undergoing treatment. And we pray for those for whom no treatment can be offered. And we pray for all who live with and care about and care for and cry over those who are sick. We ask your healing presence, gracious God. In this week, when the thought of the winter costs we're going to be all facing as a community, for our power have come home to us again, we pray for those who are in poverty. And for those who wonder how this winter they will cope, we pray too for farmers worrying about their crops. Give us, O God, insight and courage to stand with those in need and to care for the weak in our community. We offer our prayers for our world. Give us, we pray, a clear sense of direction towards what is right. Give us the courage to stand with all your children in the search for justice. We think of Sam and Rusty, so foully attacked. And we remember that it seems likely this was supposedly done in the name of God, and we stand aghast in horror. May our faith always lead us towards kindness and gentleness and love, and never towards hatred. Take us by the hand, great God, and bring us an awareness of your righteousness and a passion for your kingdom, that the whole human family may be united in your enduring love. In Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. It was good to hear Geoffrey Gleed was still playing with gusto earlier on in the service. I didn't expect anything else. The choir that's what we're leading into here. The choir are going to sing the anthem, and I believe it's at number... Sorry? Other book. Oh, the other book. Good job you told me. I have to have prompters nowadays. What did you say my name was? They're going to sing in the right book, like a mighty river flowing, like a flower in its beauty growing, far beyond all human knowing, is the perfect peace of God.
If you wish to follow the first Bible reading, you will find it in the New Testament section on page 5. Page 5 of the New Testament section, reading from St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 5, and starting at verse 43. Starting at verse 43 of chapter 5. You have heard that it was said, "You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be children of your Father in heaven. For he makes his sun rise on the evil and on the good, and sends rain on the righteous and on the unrighteous." Moving on to the Letter to the Hebrews, on page 224, I'm reading chapter 13 of Hebrews, beginning at verse 1. Let mutual love continue. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, for by doing that, some have entertained angels without knowing it. Remember those who are in prison, as though you were in prison with them. Those who are being tortured, as though you yourselves were being tortured. Let marriage be held in honor by all, and let the marriage bed be kept undefiled. For God will judge fornicators and adulterers. Keep your lives free from the love of money, and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you or forsake you. So we can say with confidence, the Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can anyone do to me? Remember your leaders, those who spoke the word of God to you. Consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. This is the word of the Lord.
And now, I believe in this hymn book. It is the hymn number... No, I've not been corrected, so we're all fine. It's 323. No, it's not. Where is it? It's exactly there. It is 246. And in whichever hymn book it should happen to be, and whether you choose to stand for this hymn or whether you don't, it is Jesus Christ is waiting, waiting in the street. Hymn number 246.
Thank you.
Speaking about former churches, I was preaching back last year in Trinity Sutton, and afterwards a member of the congregation came up to me and said, "You've still got it." He said, "Unlike another retired minister we had back a few weeks ago who clearly lost it. So if you think I have lost it, don't tell me, because I shan't remember." I was walking the other day in the Crystal Palace area, around where they'd moved when the Great Exhibition of Queen Victoria closed in Hyde Park. They moved it in 1854 to Crystal Palace, and there it stayed for quite a long while. It was a vast structure, all glass and iron. It was 3 times the size of St. Paul's Cathedral, which makes you think. And now when you go back to this place where in about 1854 they moved it, it burnt down, I think, in the 1930s. All that's left now is you can see where the ground plan was. And there are one or two statues, and there's some rather odd models of dinosaurs that are not quite right. Times change, worlds move on. I just finished reading Anthony Trollope, Can You Forgive Her?, which was written just about the time of that great exhibition in the Crystal Palace. And in it, the heroine, Alice, is torn between two men. After a while, she marries one and then agrees to marry one, and then realizes that really she loves the other. And she says, "You do not know how vile I have been." For a woman to promise herself to a man when she loved another, "I shall never cease to reproach myself. I have done that for which no woman can do and honor herself afterwards. I have been a jilt. I am a fallen woman." Well, that was a world before they discovered dating apps, wasn't it? Times change, worlds move on. Rather more typical of our time, this advert from the Oklahoma City newspaper, put in by the Reverend Billy Clegg. "Marriage counseling, guaranteed results, extremely low fees, money back if divorced within 6 months." Times change, worlds move on. I first came here in 1991. I was young, fresh-faced, full head of hair. Some questioned about that one. I wore a brown suit, if Stephen Brain is to be remembered about this one. He told me it was, said it was in very bad taste. We had 2 children, Eleanor, who was 3, and Michael, who was 1. Well, last week, Eleanor treated me to the Lord's Test match, proving why one has daughters. And then going on the tube through London, every tube I went on, someone gave me a seat. And this week too, I remember little Michael, just a few months before he came here, the first time he stood up unaided. And the look of absolute pride in his face, I don't think he's ever looked as proud since. This last week, 2 days ago, his own little daughter, Olivia. No, not Olivia. What's her name? Olwyn. Well, it's a girl, isn't it? Olwyn stood unaided for 3 seconds and had apparently that same look of pride that Michael had all those years ago. Times change, worlds move on. Sometimes the changes in the world are for the better. In 1947, I was born. It was the year of Indian independence. And in that year, the average life expectancy around the world was 32. That's the whole world, 32. Today, the average life expectancy around the world is, any guesses?
68.
72. You're not very far off. So in my lifetime, the average life expectancy has gone up by 40 years. It's the greatest improvement in life expectancy, quality of living for many people in the whole history of the planet. That year, 1947, when India became independent, the percentage of people who could read in India was 12%. Today, 74% can read in India. There have been, in my lifetime and in yours, there have been amazing changes for the good in the world. But sometimes changes are not for the good. Climate change is not for the good. It threatens the whole quality of life. And sometimes you think you've made a good change and then it doesn't last. Barack Obama is elected president of the United States. You see where this is going, don't you? Barack Obama is elected president of the United States, and people say, isn't it wonderful that America, where in my lifetime, black people in the South couldn't go on, had to sit in segregated seats on the buses, America has now elected a black president. The world is moving forward. And then they elected... So in this kind of world, where sometimes change is good, but always change is rapid, I give you a text about something that doesn't change. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Well, let's talk about Jesus. It's what preachers are paid to do, after all. What do we really know about Jesus? Well, he came from Nazareth. It's a very small town in the north of Palestine. He was some kind of builder, carpenter. At about the age of 30, he was influenced by John the Baptist and went to be baptized, and then he began a ministry in Galilee. He preached in the small towns, he preached in the synagogues, he preached by the lakeside. He healed the sick, he challenged the conventional religion of his day. People said of him, he speaks with authority. There was a kind of power about the way he spoke. And the crowds gathered. He fed people. He fed them physically, but he also fed them spiritually. It seemed he would welcome anybody to his group. And his inclusivity irritated the powers that be. And so finally they killed him. And 3 days later he appeared to his friends, and the rest is history. Well, that broadly speaking is the general outline of his life. Now, a couple of things we can say about him with certainty. The first is, he was a man of extraordinary goodness. You can say what you like, but you look at his story and you cannot come to any other conclusion. But this was a man of great goodness. Nowadays, I read the Times. It's a sign of getting older, I suppose. But one of the reasons I read the Times is the columnist Matthew Paris, who I find a columnist of great originality and freshness. He's that interesting kind of person. He's an Anglican, but probably not a Christian. That is to say, he goes to church, but he doesn't believe in God and doesn't believe in the fundamentals of the Christian gospel. So what makes him go to church? And he says, I love both the story and the person of Jesus. I'm convinced he was a real and wonderful man. Well, that's where we can start. No one put this better than Charles Wesley. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. If you spent a whole lifetime and you only wrote that one phrase, it would be worth it. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. It's equally certain he was about changing the world. He said, blessed are you who hunger, go hungry now because you're going to be fed. Blessed are you who weep because you're going to be comforted. He broke down barriers. He broke down barriers between Greek and Jew, between male and female, between Jew and Gentile. One of his greatest parables is the Good Samaritan. It's absolutely typical of him, because who is the main character in the Good Samaritan? A man of a different racial origin and a different religion, and yet this is the man he holds up and says, now if you be like that, that's what I want. He was looking for a new way of life. You've heard them say, don't murder. But I say, if you hate your brother, that is wrong. You've heard him said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But when I say, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. He looked for a change in the world. He called it the coming of the kingdom of God. It was an alternative to the violence and the suffering and the poverty that characterized ordinary life. It was a vision of kindness, compassion, gentleness, and peace. Alex McCowan once gave a public reading of Mark's Gospel, and afterwards he said, something amazing happened in Galilee 2,000 years ago, and it clearly did. Well, that was where times change, world moves on. That was 2,000 years ago. Sometimes what in the past used to look wonderful looks a bit more problematic now. The other day, Margaret and I went to Dereham Park. It's a great house near Bristol. If any of you watch Jane Austen's Sanditon, and if I was her, I'd sue for having her name in the title, but I have watched it. Lady Denham's great house in that is Dereham Park near Bristol. It's a wonderful house, but you had happened to go around and look, and it was built by William Blaithwaite. And he was Secretary of State for the colonies. And how did he make his wealth? Well, it was bribes and kickbacks from West Indian plantation owners. In other words, when you look at that wonderful great house, it was built out of the profits of exploitation, corruption, and slavery. Sometimes built out of blood. Sometimes the past isn't as good as it was when you look back. We talk about Martin Luther, and we love to remember Martin Luther beginning the Protestant Reformation and saying, here I stand, I can do no other. But actually, if you look back also, this was the man who said, as for the Jews, burn down their synagogues. Even St. Paul is... some wonderful passages in Paul. But then when he says, slaves, obey your masters, and women, keep silent in church, well, times change, worlds move on. But then what about Jesus? 2,000 years have passed. When you look at that story of Jesus, where are the moral blind spots that we could see and he could not? Well, he was a man of his time. He used language sometimes which we might not have, not our vocabulary will be different. Sometimes we may find it quite difficult to understand some of the things he said. His world was not ours. It seems to me he thought the kingdom of God would come quicker than it has. But when you look at that life of his, it is amazing how its moral power remains undiminished after 2,000 years. As Matthew Paris says, a real and wonderful man. And so, Harvey Cox taught a course in Harvard University called Jesus and the Moral Life. He taught it there for 15 years, and he gathered a really very large attendance of students from all across Harvard University. And they were very mixed. There were quite a few Christians, but there were also Jews and the odd Muslim, and a lot of people who really didn't have any faith at all. And they were, as many students are, an argumentative lot. And they would argue with him, and they would argue with each other. But then, as he was teaching his course on Jesus and the moral life, he would come to the Sermon on the Mount, and he would come to the climax of the Sermon on the Mount. You have heard it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so you may be children of your Father in heaven. And over the years, Cox says he found at that point the arguments stopped. They were often very quiet. There was nothing you could argue with here. So he says, eventually, when I reached those verses, I simply paused after I read them. Inevitably, there was a profound silence in the room. Why offer a commentary on the Mona Lisa? If the Sermon on the Mount was Jesus' Fifth Symphony, this was its central theme, why say more? Commenting on it or even discussing it seemed almost superfluous. It still does. Times change, worlds move on, and yet the truth about it is this, that Jesus is still ahead of us and not behind us. When you go through those gospel passages now, there's rarely an occasion where he is not stretching the people he meets, leading them into some new understanding, crossing some racial or social barrier, open to women, reaching out to those of other races, facing prejudice, reaching out to the excluded. His parables, the Good Samaritan, yes, the prodigal son, the sheep and the goats, inasmuch as you did it unto the least of these, my brothers and sisters, you did it to me. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Still ahead of us, still challenging us, still offering a vision we have not reached, still crying out to a world in war and hatred, there is a better way. Listen to him as he says, whoever receives a little child in my name receives me and him who sent me. Listen to him as he says, love your enemy. Listen as he says, love your neighbor. Listen as he tells the story of the Good Samaritan, the man wounded by the side of the road, and how this person of another race and religion stoops down and stops to care for him. Listen as he says, turn the other cheek. Listen as he says, give your life away and you'll find it. Listen as from the cross he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Listen as he says, do not be afraid, for I'll be with you always, even to the end of time. Times change, worlds move on. One minister follows another in this pulpit. We become a very small world compared with the one we used to live in. You have a bug in Wuhan, and then you end up with a worldwide crisis affecting all of us. We become a kind of mixed together world. Do you know, I'm told in London there are 260 languages spoken now, and that's only on the average bus. How do you live together in a world like this? Martin Luther King said we need a worldwide fellowship that lifts neighborly concern above one's own tribe, race, class, and nation. So where do we find a worldwide fellowship that brings all distinctions down and loves equally? When he asks us to pray, he says, begin to pray, Our Father. Our Father, all of us together, there is no one who is not included in that prayer. Our Father. Paul draws the conclusion, in Christ there is no east nor west, there is neither Greek nor Jew, slave nor free, male nor female, for you are all one. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow, always challenging, always one step ahead of where we are. And our challenge is now, as it always has been, to try and to keep up with him. And to him be all glory and power now and forever. Amen. Let us pray. Jesus, thou art all compassion, pure unbounded love thou art. Is there a place in life where goodness is more clearly seen than in you? Is there a place in life where God is more clearly seen than you? Touch our lives with your power and send us out to serve the world in your name. Amen. Do you still have an offering? You do. Good. Well, let's have it then. God of grace and God of glory, grant us wisdom, grant us courage for the living of these days. And now we say the grace together.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore. Amen.
I don't have a favourite hymn, but if I did, I mean, I have a number. It depends.
Which tune do you want?
Blind Worm. Well, there wasn't any need to ask me then, was there?
We weren't going to have that tune.
Oh, well, thank you so much, Geoffrey. I would, of course, have had any tune the organist had played. I was going to say, Love Divine or Love's Excelling would be absolutely there among my top half a dozen hymns. Some of the words in here are just wonderful. Lost in wonder, love and praise, what a description of worship. Who, incidentally, it's a very popular wedding hymn. Who had this at their wedding? Well, not very many of us. Oh, well, a few. Anyway, it's one of the great Christian hymns, Love Divine or Love's Excelling, 663. In this book, of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be with you and remain with you now and forevermore. Amen.